Usually, when we think about modern logistics, specifically next day delivery, there is this expectation of like robotic precision.
Right, like everything is just perfectly calibrated.
Exactly. It feels like a giant global vending machine. I mean, you are sitting on your couch, you click buy on your phone, and a box drops into a delivery truck somewhere.
Yep.
And then, the next morning, it's just sitting on your porch. It feels perfectly automated, clean, binary.
It really does. And well, it's a very comforting illusion to imagine it's all just algorithms and conveyor belts just smoothly humming along in the background. But that vending machine metaphor hides a staggering amount of human sweat, like an unbelievable amount.
Which is exactly what happens when you look at that dreaded screen on your shipping tracker that just says delayed.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
Suddenly, you realize you are dealing with a logistical landscape that is heavily dependent on actual human beings. I mean, if you step inside a massive 2 million square foot distribution center, that vending machine is revealed to be incredibly fragile.
So fragile.
When the human element gets disrupted, the entire system is instantly at risk.
It is the absolute definition of a high wire act without a net. Or, well, at least a net that most people can't see. Which actually brings us to the core of what we are pulling apart today in this deep dive.
Yeah, and we have some really fascinating source material for this
We
one.
do. We're looking at operational blueprints provided by Regional Supplemental Services, or RSS Inc. They are a company that specializes in this exact field. We are looking at emergency staffing and distribution centers.
And we really need to clarify right out of the gate here. This is not standard human resources.
No, not at all.
We are not talking about putting up a job listing and like waiting for resumes to roll in. This is high stakes supply chain disaster management.
Exactly.
So for anyone listening who loves knowing how things actually work behind the scenes, this deep dive is completely for you. We are looking at the operational triage that keeps that next day delivery promise from completely collapsing when a warehouse gets hit with an unexpected surge or just loses its workforce.
Yeah, and to really grasp the mechanics of this, I mean, we have to look at the tipping point. Internal staffing strategies in a warehouse are really only designed for predictable variability.
Predictable being the key word there.
Right. A facility might have a little bit of buffer staffing, some cross-training across departments. Maybe they authorize overtime for the core team.
Sure.
And those things give a building some limited resilience.
Huh.
But they inherently fail under sustained or large-scale pressure events.
Okay, let's unpack this because the sources detail some very specific triggers for this. I kind of think of internal buffer staffing like stretching a rubber band.
Okay, yeah.
You expect some tension on a Tuesday afternoon, and authorizing overtime is like stretching that rubber band even further.
Right.
But a sudden port surge or a labor dispute, that is the moment the rubber band just snaps.
It snaps violently. And what's fascinating here is the specific anatomy of that snap. It's rarely just a bunch of people calling in sick.
Really? What is it usually?
Well, consider a massive inbound volume surge from a port. Say you manage a facility outside Chicago. You're expecting, I don't know, 20 shipping containers on a Friday.
Okay, manageable.
Right. But suddenly, the port clears a massive backlog, and 100 containers show up at your receiving dock at 3:00 p.m.
Oh, wow. So your receiving dock is suddenly completely paralyzed.
Completely. And that introduces a completely different constraint on the building than, say, an equipment failure. I mean, if the receiving dock is clogged with 80 extra containers, the truck literally can't unload.
Right.
The inbound inventory has nowhere to go.
And I imagine you can't just rely on standard hiring pipelines to fix a massive void like that. I mean, if you need 50 people to unload trucks right now today, calling a temp agency that needs 2 weeks to run background checks is entirely useless.
Oh, completely useless, because operational disruption in a warehouse isn't linear. It is exponential.
Exponential,
Yeah,
yeah.
a delay of just a few hours doesn't just mean you are a few hours behind schedule. It creates this compounding backlog
Yeah.
across all subsequent shifts.
Oh, I see.
Think of it like a commercial kitchen during the Friday dinner rush. If the dishwasher breaks down for an hour, it's not just the dishes that are delayed.
Right. The chefs run out of pans, the servers run out of plates, the food gets cold, the customers get angry.
And the entire restaurant seizes up.
Yeah. And so in a distribution center, if the staging area is full because the dock is backed up, the inventory isn't put away.
Exactly.
And if it's not put away, the order pickers have nothing to pick.
Which leads to completely misaligned inventory. That's where your physical counts on the floor no longer match. your digital system counts.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. You see massive error rates as the existing staff is pushed far beyond their physical limits, dealing with extreme fatigue just to try and catch up.
Which obviously requires a fundamentally different approach. The sources I believe described this almost like a SWAT team intervention versus traditional HR.
That's a great way to put it.
Because disruption multiplies by the hour, that traditional hiring model just goes straight out the window.
It is a profound shift in priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Standard staffing models prioritize cost optimization. They want cultural fit, they want long-term retention, comprehensive candidate screening.
Things that take time.
Right. It's about building stability over years. Emergency staffing strips all of that away. It prioritizes speed, reliability, and immediate competency.
Because you are deploying in hours or days, not weeks.
Exactly.
And we are talking about highly specific bottleneck roles here. The source material highlights order pickers who maintain the outbound velocity, packers who ensure shipment accuracy.
Forklift operators moving the pallets.
Receiving associates, inventory control specialists, but okay, wait, I have to push back here on behalf of anyone listening who has ever started a new job.
Here, before.
If I walk into a 2 million square foot warehouse, I'm going to get lost just looking for the break room.
Oh, same.
Right? So how is it physically possible for someone to walk into a massive complex facility they have literally never seen before and be instantly productive?
Well, that is the crucial distinction of the emergency model. It's called role readiness.
Yeah.
The goal here is not onboarding potential. It is immediate productivity.
Okay.
These workers arrive already certified for those specific warehouse functions.
So they aren't showing up to learn how to drive a forklift?
No, not at all.
They're showing up fully certified, just needing to know where the forklift is parked.
Exactly. And beyond the equipment, it's really about standardization in the industry. The warehouse management systems, the WMS, which are the digital brains of these buildings that track every item and scanner, they are highly standardized.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. An RF scanner in warehouse A operates very similarly to an RF scanner in warehouse B. The worker just scans the barcode, follows the digital arrows on the screen, and executes the task.
So the training expectation upon arrival is pretty minimal.
Right. It's essentially a quick safety briefing, a site map, and they are off.
That makes a lot of sense for the worker. But from a business perspective, how on earth does an agency maintain a massive, highly trained, fully certified workforce on standby without going bankrupt?
That's a $1 million question.
Right, because you can't just pay thousands of forklift drivers to sit on their couches waiting for a red phone to ring.
No, you definitely can't. And that is the genius of the shared labor pool model. Providers like RSS Inc. maintain geographic coverage along major logistics corridors.
Okay.
So their workforce isn't sitting idle. They are actively rotating.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, a team might finish a 3-week surge at a sporting goods distributor and then immediately pivot to a home goods retailer 2 towns over that just got hit with a supply chain delay.
So they are essentially a highly mobile, specialized surge force moving to wherever the pressure is highest at that moment.
Exactly.
Okay, but deploying an instant, highly trained workforce like that still sounds incredibly expensive. I mean, you are paying a massive premium for that speed and flexibility.
You are.
And honestly, if you mess it up and throw unqualified bodies at a warehouse panic, I'd imagine it actually makes things worse.
Oh, significantly worse.
Yeah.
Workforce quality directly influences throughput speed and workplace safety. Unqualified workers introduce massive operational risk.
Because if their pick rates are slow, they bottleneck the entire floor.
Yes. And if they don't know the systems, you get an increase in mispicks.
A mispick being when you ship someone the wrong item.
Right, which leads to costly customer returns and huge reputational damage for the brand.
Not to mention, you definitely don't want an unvetted person behind the wheel of a 10,000-pound piece of heavy machinery.
Definitely not. Safety is the biggest liability in this industry.
All right.
Improper equipment handling causes severe incidents. You cannot cut corners on safety just because you're in a rush.
Which brings us to where the specific advantage of a company like RSS Inc. comes into play, according to the documents.
Right.
They don't just find the people. They actually handle all the administrative red tape to make this instant deployment legal and safe.
It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, we are talking about handling driver's work history, medical paperwork, DMV reports, background checks, workman's comp, all of it.
It's an immense administrative burden that gets shifted entirely off the distribution center's plate.
Wow.
Yeah, if a forklift driver drops a pallet of expensive electronics, or worse, gets injured, the liability and the workers' compensation are handled by the staffing provider's insurance, not the facilities.
Oh, that indemnification is a massive selling point.
Huge selling point.
But here's where it gets really interesting, though. When you look at the cost structure, the math of this entire industry suddenly clicks into place.
It really does.
Yes, the hourly premium for this rapid short-term deployment is undeniably higher than paying a standard wage. But the financial math completely flips in an emergency.
Because you aren't evaluating the cost against a normal worker's hourly wage.
Exactly. You are evaluating it against the cost of doing nothing.
And let's explain what we mean by the cost of doing nothing in logistics. Because it all comes down to SLAs, or service level agreements.
Right. The SLAs?
An SLA is basically a strict legal contract between a distribution center and a retailer. It dictates very specific metrics.
Like what?
Well, for example, it might state that 99% of all orders received by 2.00 p.m. must be shipped the exact same day.
And if you don't hit that 99%?
You get hit with massive financial penalties. We are talking tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in chargebacks.
Yikes.
And that's not to mention the cost of expedited shipping. If you miss the standard ground shipping window because your dock was backed up, you might have to pay for overnight air freight just to meet your delivery promise to the customer.
I see. So suddenly, paying an emergency worker double the standard hourly rate for a few days isn't really a premium at all.
Not at all.
It's a massive bargain compared to paying a $100,000 SLA penalty and then buying air freight for 5,000 packages on top of it.
The financial impact of lost revenue and penalties will almost always exceed the incremental cost of bringing in an emergency SWAT team.
It's literally the cost of keeping the vending machine from breaking entirely.
Yes. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it is also about regulatory compliance.
Okay, how so?
Well, during an emergency staffing event, timelines are incredibly compressed, and the workforce's unfamiliarity with the specific building is high. That is a very dangerous combination.
A total recipe for disaster if someone isn't specifically managing the chaos.
Which is why you have to instantly verify equipment certifications. You have to maintain strict OSHA compliance for warehouse safety protocols.
Right.
You have to ensure the proper use of personal protective equipment, PPE like steel-toed boots and high visibility vests.
Because failing to verify those protocols can turn a temporary labor shortage into an absolute nightmare.
Exactly. You're looking at accidents, massive regulatory fines, and potentially a full operational shutdown ordered by authorities.
Wow.
Yeah. So reliable partners integrate all of that compliance verification directly into their digital deployment process.
Okay, let's talk about that digital process. Because to pull off this flawless matching of speed, specialized skill, and strict safety compliance, you clearly can't just be dialing through a massive Rolodex of phone numbers while your warehouse is burning down.
No, definitely not.
Modern emergency staffing requires deep technological integration.
Technology is the engine that accelerates this entire workforce deployment. The most sophisticated operations use automated dispatch tools and continuous real-time tracking of workforce availability.
The sources mention integration directly into a facility's warehouse management system, or WMS. So I kind of want to walk through how this actually works.
Sure.
Say I'm the manager of that Chicago facility we talked about earlier, and the port surge hits. What actually happens?
Okay, so in a fully integrated system, the manager doesn't even have to pick up the phone.
Really?
Yeah. The WMS, which is tracking the flow of inventory in real time, flags a massive drop in throughput at the receiving dock. It calculates that based on the current labor, the backlog will exceed the SLA deadline by 48 hours.
Wow. So the system knows it's drowning before the humans even finish their morning coffee.
Exactly. The WMS can automatically trigger an API ping to a provider like RSS Inc.
Okay.
That ping basically says, we need 20 certified receiving associates at this address by 6:00 a.m. tomorrow.
And then what?
Then the RSS dispatch system instantly cross-references their pre-vetted labor pool for workers who are geographically close, available, and certified.
That sounds almost like a ride-sharing app, but for heavy logistics.
It really is.
The worker gets a notification on their phone like surge pricing available for receiving dock at facility X. They accept it, their security badge is digitally provisioned, and they just show up the next morning ready to work.
Yep. That digital visibility reduces the friction in the staffing process from days to literally minutes.
That's incredible.
But, and this is a massive caveat here,
yeah.
The technology only works if the strategy is in place beforehand.
Right, of course.
The absolute best time to evaluate emergency staffing readiness is long before the disruption actually occurs.
Because if you wait until the port surge hits to figure out who to call, you are already dead in the water.
Facilities have to be proactive. They need to identify their blind spots.
Yeah.
Like, what are the critical roles that have absolutely no internal redundancy?
Yeah.
They need to establish these digital handshakes and API integrations with staffing providers well in advance.
You can't just wing it.
No. They must define response time expectations, map out their facility-specific workforce requirements, and conduct periodic stress tests of their staffing plans.
It's basically like running a fire drill, but for your supply chain labor.
That's a perfect analogy.
And as we look at how this tool is evolving, something really wild is happening in the industry. The sources note that for facilities facing chronic geographic labor shortages,
which is very common right now.
Yeah, maybe they are located in a highly competitive logistics hub where everyone is fighting over the same small pool of workers.
Right.
Or maybe they just deal with persistent, massive seasonal demand spikes. Well, emergency staffing is actually transforming for them. It's no longer just an emergency button. It's turning into a long-term hybrid staffing model.
Well, this is a major evolution in the space. Temporary emergency staffing is becoming a permanent operational layer.
A permanent layer.
Yeah. Instead of trying to permanently hire for the absolute peak of their busy season, which is incredibly inefficient, facilities are intentionally maintaining a much smaller, leaner core workforce.
And then what? They just use the emergency teams for the rest?
Exactly. They supplement that core team with these flexible, pre-qualified external labor pools that can instantly scale up or down based on real-time daily operational requirements.
So what does this all actually mean for you, the listener?
That's the big question.
Right. It means emergency staffing is fundamentally shifting from a panicked break glass in case of emergency afterthought to a highly sophisticated strategic layer of modern commerce.
It really is.
It is treating labor shortages not as an annoying human resources headache, but as a time-sensitive operational crisis. And it succeeds through the rapid deployment of pre-qualified, specialized labor that stops those exponential backlogs and prevents catastrophic financial penalties.
You know, this actually raises an important question about the future of global supply chains.
What's that?
Well, if this hybrid model is so effective at mitigating risk and handling the incredibly volatile realities of modern consumer demand, are we looking at a future where facilities permanently rely on these scalable external labor pools as their primary defense against disruption?
Wow. Yep.
It completely changes the definition of what a warehouse worker actually is.
It really does. It makes you wonder. Whether you manage a team, work in the logistics industry, or you are just a curious consumer who expects a package to arrive perfectly on time in 24 hours, you now know the invisible safety net that makes that modern miracle possible.
It is the human infrastructure backing up the digital promise.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over today. We started by talking about the illusion of the fully automated vending machine. We know that robotic systems and AI are increasingly taking over the predictable, everyday tasks in these massive distribution centers.
Right. The robots are definitely getting better at the boring stuff.
But what happens to the human element as that automation scales? Will the human warehouse workforce of the future exclusively consist of these highly specialized rapid response SWAT teams?
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
Like just a highly trained elite force of human troubleshooters waiting in the wings, swooping in only when the rubber band snaps, the algorithms fail, and the truly unpredictable happens.
It's a fascinating prospect for the future of work.
Yeah.
When the robots get confused, you send in the humans.
Exactly. Until next time, keep looking behind the scenes.